If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the infinite light and love of the Divine Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Galactic Command. This evening, our seminar topic is Cultivating and Refining the Discerning Heart. So let's take a deep breath and call yourself forward right down to the top of your head, right down to your throat. And write that energy right into the center of your heart. Yes, it came in with a beautiful violet, rosy color, didn't it? The body's rocking. That's the energy infusing and integrating. You know, the current dimensional shift that we're undergoing is changing everything. The air that we breathe, the way that we breathe, our biophysical rhythms, the beating and operation of the heart, everything is being advanced to a higher frequency and a higher level. This is what some of you are reporting as dizziness and disorientation. And what I call dropouts of memory, where you just suddenly go blank. This is all part of the lowering of the electromagnetic field of the Earth as we approach that zero point where we have that complete transferal into the next level. And, beloved, it's nothing to worry about. This is being facilitated by many, many advanced levels of consciousness that truly have the best interests of all humanity and the planet Earth in their hearts and minds. You will be carried through grace through this dimensional shift, and every provision is made for you. So it's nothing you can understand at this level, because it's coming in at a level in which we don't have a reality construct. Nor do we have the words to convey what it's like. But just rest like a little baby in the arms of the Beloved, the Divine Mother, the angels, however you like to envision that perfect love. And just allow it to carry you across the threshold into the brightest and most beautiful life you could imagine. This Earth is going into something amazing, indescribable, but wonderful, and you're going to all love it and sing and dance and rejoice. So in the meantime, yes, there's many shifts of consciousness that when you don't understand what's going on, they can be a little bit disconcerting. But trust, trust, trust. Write that in big letters on a 3x5 card and put it wherever you need to see it as a reminder. Trust and relax, for all truly is well. So tonight we want to look at something that is very important to understand, because it's affecting so many of us in every conceivable way. And really, it's what determines the quality of what we're experiencing now with our life. And it's about the heart. The intake valve and portal that connects all of us to source energy is the heart. When the heart is open and unblocked, our energies also flow abundantly and freely. And it's in learning to keep that energy valve open all the time that is one of the major keys to experiencing this ever-replenishing energy that comes in as we move into Christ consciousness. And we're all in process of cultivating and refining that energy. We often hear the phrases, follow your heart, the heart knows, the heart will never lie, and so forth. But what does that actually mean? What is this heart that they're actually referring to? The heart, most operated out of, is little more than the ego's emotional state of addictive demands, expectations, and attachments. That's not the heart that we're speaking of. We're speaking of the heart center, or you might say, the spiritual heart that is in the etheric level. Slightly different, but in heart-coherent resonance in its optimal state with your physical heart organ, and that in turn with your astral and emotional and imaginative centers of consciousness. When that happens, you enter a new state of expanded lovingness and awareness and sensitivity to life around you. You come into that state called kinship with all life. So that is the part that we are working to discern, and also to show where it's not necessary to engage physically in relationship, where that really doesn't serve any useful purpose. So that's another concern that many people have, is what's happening in relationships right now. Some of them are being very, let's say, shaken by the dimensional shift. So not to worry, this is all part of your process. And we will be looking at that this evening. So to start with, get in touch with what you're feeling right now in your heart. Take a deep breath. And ride that energy down into your heart. You might want to anchor it by putting your hand on your heart. Focus your attention. And does your heart feel open and clear and loving? What's going on in your heart resonance right now? Okay, close your eyes and look clairvoyantly in your inner imagining vision, your imaging vision, and see if you have a toroidal field around your body. Don't know what that looks like? Good. Just look and see what shows up. Put your imagination outside of your body and your mind and look. Go ahead, you can do this. Check out your own aura, your own energy field. Look and see what's going on with you. Yes, you can write it down later, and you can do this process when you have time to spend a little time looking. But if you don't have the wit to look, to see, you're not going to really know what's going on. And you have every right to look and to accurately be shown what is going on with your life and the energy fields that you are generating. So practice sitting quietly and entering your heart shrine. And you do that through just coming down to the top of your head and down through your crown and brow and throat chakras and ride the energy right down into the center of your heart. Or simply feel yourself in the center of your heart. Just be there. By intuitively feeling your way into that sacred heart space. And as you do, pay attention to every slight feeling sensation that arises. And it's here where you find the entrance into the inner kingdom of God. Those higher dimensional realms are all accessed here and through that heart portal. That's why, esoterically speaking, the true heart center is the very last center to open. And obviously we're speaking of something here that goes beyond what you know as the heart chakra per se. This is a center of consciousness that, let's say, transcends and yet also includes the heart chakra. So, the heart we are speaking about is the creative center of the cosmos, the great source of life, energy, and love, out of which all life extends, and into which all life forms merge. And this is the selfless, unconditioned heart that is untouched by ego. It's interesting to note that the heart is the very first organ to develop in the fetus. Before the brain is even formed, the heart begins to beat. The heart is the great connector, the great principle of unification itself, called also the cosmic magnet. And through the heart, we come to understand, know, and commune with all life. So it's in that heart coherent state that we can actually speak to everything and receive communication through the heart. We understand things non-verbally in their essential essence. So it's the heart that opens the way for communication with higher worlds and levels of cosmic intelligence. All of these higher beings from the more advanced civilizations and worlds speak the language of the heart. We don't actually use words. We don't actually have names. We're recognized by our heart rate, our heart coherent frequency, our signature energetically. And we commune heart to heart. So the heart, if you observe closely, opens and closes like the petals of a flower reacting to light and darkness. You know, as a child, I used to be fascinated at how the blue morning glories on my windowsill would open in the sunlight and close when it became dark. Well, our heart center is like that as well. It opens to the light of love and closes down to darkness and negativity. And, you know, truly, like Sai Baba has said, nature is the best preacher and life is the best teacher. So for a while, just observe how your heart opens and closes as you respond and react to people, the things they say, the things you encounter during the day. Pay attention to what you're feeling. Notice how your heart opens and you like or even love someone when they are nice to you or say something that's pleasant and agreeable. But notice also how a disagreeable word or interaction can cause you to close your heart. In the very next second, you can go from love to where your feelings change and you don't even like that person so very much now. You know, I think we've all experienced and can relate to this. In extreme cases, that former feeling of love could suddenly turn to dislike or even outright hatred, hostility, attack, and violence. So that is an example of the fickle heart, the ego-tainted heart, not your divine heart, which is always impersonal. It doesn't take personal offense, and it is always selfless and unconditional in its loving. So that refined state is cultivated out of initially getting in touch with your authentic feelings and thus your authentic heart coherency. Or you could say that you're learning to be true to yourself, that is to say your divine self. Most of us don't really live authentically true to ourselves. We're people pleasers. We kowtow to opinions. We try to ingratiate and influence and cause people to like us. Because basically we're afraid. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of people being abusive to us or hurting us or whatever. But in fact, we're only hurting ourselves because we're acting out of falsehood. And when we are deceitful, we forfeit divine aid. So the deceitful heart is the one that we need to come to terms with and rectify by refining and cultivating that divine heart. So the heart is the very center and source of life and energy at both the micro and the macrocosmic levels. The heart is the very seat of divine creative intelligence. That's why a true creative artist always is passionate and in love with their expression, their creative expression, whatever it is. Great musical composers or painters or dancers or actors or whatever the medium of creative expression is, architecture, whatever, it's imbued with inspiration and enthusiasm and passion. And that person absolutely loves to do what they do. And it is always an expression of the flame and fire emanating from that creative heart. And it imbues the painting. For example, if you listen to a fine rendition of one of the master composers, or you look at the artwork of, say, of the great Nicholas Roerich, he actually, through his artwork, or the master musician through his music, has the ability to carry you right into those interdimensional states of consciousness, to quicken and activate them. Sai Baba said that the great maestro, Ravi Shankar, who just passed over to the other side, that he had the ability to contact Nara Brahm himself and to convey you into the direct presence of whichever manifestation of God the raga he was playing was invoking. That's how powerful music and artwork is when it is imbued with the fiery passion of a divinely ignited heart. So in man, the heart is the door, the dimensional portal to everything. The activated heart center creates a toroidal field of energy around a man as well as around each celestial orb. Now this fans out, looks like a big slinky, actually looks like a slinky toy that surrounds man's physical body. It comes out of the heart and fans around him in like this fountain of energy. And it's circular, kind of like a donut, and it surrounds, it's called a tube torus in sacred geometry. And it is the heart-generating activator of what's called the Merkaba, the counter-rotational, interdimensional fields of divine light that constitutes your multidimensional vehicle through which you travel beyond time-space, such as you know it. It emanates out of the heart coherent rate. So first, the heart field is generated, and out of that, the Merkaba, the divine vehicle of light, appears. Now, in Atlantis, they tried to create artificial Merkabas through mind technology devoid of the flame of the heart. And that's why Atlantis fell. That's why you have lower-level extraterrestrials that travel in nuts and bolts spaceships, because they haven't yet learned how to create the Merkaba, which, again, comes out of the flaming heart and the divine love, which is the true creative source of everything divine. So basically, bottom line, you cannot create anything that has the anointing and imbuing of spirit without the love of the heart being connected with that. So it is this toroidal field of energy that's heart-generated that connects us and is part of what is called the Christ consciousness grid. And it's necessary for us all to be connected into that Christ consciousness grid to make this dimensional shift. And because that's where all the goodies are going to be found. This is where we move into being able to use free energy, being able to travel beyond this planet and visit other worlds and other dimensions freely and be welcomed everywhere. So you have to be dressed in your Merkaba to appear appropriate and where we would like to go now. So it's all part of getting in touch with your true, authentic heart feeling and being true to that. So the toroidal field of energy is activated by a person living in the state of heart coherency. And again, we have told you that the simplest way to experience heart coherency is to place your hand on your heart and to breathe into that place where your heart is being touched, and to think of someone that you love very deeply. And it works really well if you have a divine being that you feel very close to, Jesus or Sai Baba or Ashtar, or it doesn't matter, any one of the ascended masters, someone that you fully trust and love. And you simply start expressing your loving gratitude for that person, telling them how much you love them, and thanking them with all your heart for the things that come to mind that you're especially grateful for. Now that immediately establishes you in heart coherency. And it's staying in that state. You know, it's cultivated where we are a living pan of praise, so to speak. We're always in gratitude and loving towards everything in our life, seeing everything as a sign of God's grace. And again, that's a field of consciousness, a state of awareness that's cultivated. And you don't drop the ball on that one. You keep working with it. Keep playing the game. Keep doing it. Keep bringing yourself forward into that challenge until it becomes their second nature. Actually, it's your first nature. But in departure into what we have called an ego manifestation, we need to be reinduced back into our original holiness and wholeness. So when one is centered in their loving and responding to life in an open-hearted, loving way, one could be said to be in heart coherency. Now, how can you tell if your heart is opened? Well, you can tell if your heart is opened if you feel entirely clear and open towards everyone. So you're either clear and open or you're not. And when you are, you're centered in divine neutrality. It's a very calm state of inner stillness, of mind and emotions, although the physical body may be engaged in intense activity. The because spirit is not a passive state. But it's in that open-hearted state that's referred to as being in the world, but not of the world. And it is cultivated by practicing some form of meditative, objective observer technique, something that develops that impersonal sense of identity. So you learn to recognize and to redirect your mind and emotions from ego-based attachments and judgments into one of simply being the objective observer and the witness of life. And, you know, a big key to that is, instead of allowing people and places and situations to get your goat and throw you off center, get you all agitated, if you could let them pass through you, just like you allow passing scenery to go before the window when you're on a trip. But the problem is, some things get snagged on your unresolved issues. They become log jammed, energy blocks on those things you haven't dealt with, that you haven't resolved in some way within your own self. It's not something you really do with another person. Your issues are yours to work out. Other people may trigger your issues or, you know, bring them into your awareness through associating with you, but your issues are your issues. So basically, you've gotten caught up and hung up on your interpretation of what you think or imagine is going on. So it's really honest to go ahead and face the truth that you really have no idea what's going on. If you did, you would have no issues. So your issues are the issue. You only have an issue with the things that are an issue. Oh. So Sai Baba describes true self-mastery like this, and this is a tough call. This is not going to be easy, but this is what true self-mastery behaves like. This is a quote from Sai Baba. Bear all and do nothing. Hear all and say nothing. Give all and take nothing. Serve all and be nothing. Tough, huh? Yeah. I was reminded of Gandhi, who actually freed his whole country by doing just these four things. And Nelson Mandela, who was able to endure for 27 years in prison and came out to, again, free his people from apartheid. Martin Luther King, who spoke the truth of his being and brought forward emancipation for his people from bigotry and racial persecution. Yeah, these are all people that did these very four things. I'm sure none of them gave a fig about being anything. They were too busy giving to think of taking. They certainly heard all manner of things and said nothing. And they certainly bore everything and did nothing. Doing nothing meaning not attacking in like kind, not being vindictive and delivering an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's what it means. It doesn't mean being a wimp or a doormat or allowing someone to abuse you necessarily. I mean, Gandhi was certainly abused, and St. Paul was certainly abused, and many of the great apostles and saints and masters. But I'm talking more about those of us who still have a way to go before we're in those categories. And we're, like I say, cultivating and refining this state. So it feels absolutely fantastic when your whole your heart is open and clear and flowing. You can become so used to living in that state that then the slightest closing down is acutely painful. I have to say, I'm in that state myself, and I cannot tolerate to have any kind of an unclear issue on any level with anyone within myself, or to close down my love in any way towards anything. I get instant feedback. It is so miserable. I just can't tolerate it. And I think we get to that point. So the trick is to always keep your heart open. When your heart is open all the time, it's a state called, by Sai Baba, Sahaja Samadhi. It's the natural Sahaja state of equanimity, which is what Samadhi means. It means being equal-minded towards all things, seeing the one in the all, and the all in the one. So when you're in Sahaja Samadhi, you have your heart, which is always open, all the time. And it never closes towards anyone or anything. So it's really learned through, I think, the pain and suffering we all go through, primarily with regard to relationships. I think relationships, relationship in itself provides the greatest initiatory training that we have in this life. You know, when you think of it, life is all about relationship with ourselves, with God, and the projections of ourselves in the form of other people. So all of the other chakra centers, except for the heart, will test you and confront you with what you really want. What is the motive of your search? Do you want personal power, psychic power, material power, or do you want pure divine love? Mammon or Christ, your choice. So most people actually in the world are following the way of personal power. They are on that broad way of the many. And the narrow way that few find, because few seek, really with all of their heart, is that narrow way of selfless, pure love that goes right through the portal, the dimensional portal of the Sacred Heart. So when you get inside that place in your heart, when we finish our seminar and you are quietly alone and can practice some of these things, explore this inner world of the Sacred Heart. I found it absolutely fascinating. Not only does it have no end, when I said it's the open portal to everything, I literally meant that. It goes on into eternal life. And you have an experience of continual revelation in that state. That is where true prophetic revelation is given to the one that is in that inner kingdom. And you find that not only does it contain all you've ever sought and more, all of your answers are also contained in that inner heart space. That heart space literally holds every answer that you could ever ask about anything in your life. This is where you commune with God directly in spirit and in truth. This is where you meet the great beings of other worlds, the Ascended Masters, the Angelic Hosts, and contact the direct beloved Creator of all, face to face and directly, and you have admission into the Holy of Holies and the School of the Divines. Because we're all godlings in training. We're all in training. And we all go forth in some form of divine co-creatorship. So in cultivating and refining spiritual discernment, you learn to discern through the heart resonance the nature of all things. For example, in relationship, you will notice your initial heart response to people upon meeting someone. A refined discernment can immediately know the essential nature and intention of another person or of any situation in which they find themselves. It is not necessary to close the heart to discern incompatibility. This is important to note. You don't have to make another person wrong to recognize that you're in different camps of consciousness for the time being, and there's an incompatibility, and it's unnecessary to engage any further in that relationship. That is wisdom. It is not necessary to interact personally with those in whom you initially sense incompatibility. A few women would notice, and you men also, that when you date someone and you know in your heart of hearts this is not going to go anywhere, this is not going to be the one for any kind of a committed relationship, you would be very wise not to date that person again. I think watching The Bachelor and The Bachelorette is a good example of discerning when there's a compatibility and there's not. You know, it's a very interesting program, and I think we all like to watch it, because who doesn't like to watch beautiful men and women visiting beautiful places and trying to fall in love and falling in love? I mean, we all love that, don't we? But it's a matter of discerning compatibility and similar heart resonance. So it's important to admit, and this is a fine spiritual level of discernment, that some people's energies are like toxic fumes. They infect, stifle, and pollute. Moreover, some people's energies are sources of psychic contagion. The Master Moria speaks about this continually in the Agni Yoga books that were given to his amanuensis, Helena Rorick. There's a lot of information. One of the favorite books in that series for me is Heart. I love the books Heart and Hierarchy. They're two of my favorite in the Agni Yoga series. But it goes into this refining of the heart energies and discerning, you know, where there's people who are actually walking psychic contagion, and to discern that and to keep company with light. You know, the Bible says, what company and fellowship has light with darkness? And in the lower level, to have that polarity. So the presence of negative entities is often detected by a foul odor. People that do stinking thinking stink. I remember in our insight training that I took with my master teacher, John Roger, that he could tell when we were processing because he'd go around the room and sniff us. And he could tell when we were clear because when the negativity had surfaced and been processed, then we smelt better. So he has a very, very highly developed ability to discern the resonant fields of people and their heart energy. I think John Roger is probably one of the greatest teachers on the planet for teaching you how to live a heart-coherent life that's centered in your loving. I know he sure has taught me that over all these many, many years that I've been with him. So the presence of fear and hatred will give off foul smells and evil intention. And all animals can detect this, as well as young children and spiritually refined individuals. The Bible speaks about unclean spirits. And you'll notice when you have really fine-tuned discernment that you will sense uncleanliness in those psychic fields around people. And it becomes very distasteful. You find yourself just instinctively shying away from people like that. It's like the heart knows, and the heart is telling you, you have no fellowship here. So likewise, spiritual people and saints have pleasant auras and pleasant fragrances emanating from their influence, and you can sense them. Sometimes Sai Baba will manifest a smell like vibhuti, and when he does, we always know he's present. Mother Mary very often, or Kuthumi, will give a scent of roses. And the Master Moria smells very often like freesias, or sometimes like the white lily, or sometimes like sandalwood. And you learn to discern these different nuances of your master teacher and their energy signature. So a saint is like a embodied disinfectant. They cleanse and purify and heal and bless everything in their radius of influence. And that energy is referred to as heart coherent resonance. It's also referred to as baraka, which is an Arabic word. And I was trying to think of the Hindu equivalency, but I couldn't quite remember what it was other than prasad, which would be that which is blessed by the presence of the master. But baraka actually signifies the spiritual residue of blessing imparted by the touch or glance of a saintly person. I guess we could call that shaktipat or shakti, although that actually falls a little less than what baraka is conveying here. The shakti can also be psychic energy of the lower kind. But genuine spiritual energy transcends shakti. It is what we call the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which doesn't have any kind of biophysical psychic origin. It comes directly from God and comes upon a person rather than up through the chakra centers and kundalini. That's the difference. So the sacred heart energy requires safeguarding once it is brought into a high state of refinement. I think it's extremely difficult to interact in the world with this refined heart essence. And again, my teacher, John Roger, is one of the very few who has taught exactly how to accomplish this without departing the world or living in a Himalayan ashram. And John Roger's major key, I would say, could be summed up in this statement, which happens to be my favorite one from the many that John Roger has given. And it's this: if you would know the secret of soul transcendence, look for the good, the divine, in all people and things, and leave all the rest to God. There you have it in an absolute nutshell. Yet it is possible to do that and still selectively discern and choose the company you keep. You can love everyone as a soul without liking their human personality. You can really dislike hanging out with the personality of some people and prefer hanging out with those people who are more centered in their divinity. That is your personal prerogative and choice. And it's not unspiritual to do that. And it's not unloving. In fact, it's loving yourself enough to take care of yourself, which is to bring yourself into godly fellowship and company if you're on a Godward path. So So it's, again, self-awareness, self-discipline, self-direction, and taking responsibility for where you put your body, your mind, your emotions, your attention, your focus and energy. So you can keep your heart center open and stay free of judging, and at the same time, choose not to interact personally with certain people. And that is exercising wise discernment. For example, just because one has a blood relationship with someone in this life doesn't mean that you have to remain in physical contact with that person. Often, once the karma has been worked out or cleared, you part company and that's it. You can allow that to take its natural course without judging or hanging any negative feelings or creating any self-justifying story about it. Forgive them, grace them, release them, get on with your life. So when the lesson is learned in a relationship and the karma is balanced and cleared, often that ends the relationship. And, until that happens, there's no further, when that happens, there's no further connection or need for physical interaction or contact. You know, that's spiritual. That's not being unloving. People often create unnecessary problems and karmic situations for themselves simply by trying to create a relationship where none exists. Did you ever do that? Try to mood make a relationship and you're just not feeling it? It's just not happening, and yet you press on through trying to make it happen. It never ends well. Or where you try to change somebody so that, they will fit you. Forget it. If they don't fit you on the first date, they're not going to fit you when they really show up in their true personality after you've made a commitment and you're living with them. You know, anybody can be pleasant for a date, or when you see them only occasionally. It's living with them day in, day out that tells the story. So, taking care of yourself is exercising wise discernment. You know, very often this is the case when a person is adopted. They sometimes insist upon locating their birth parents. And seldom does this end in any degree of satisfaction for either party. Listen, you knew when you took embodiment as a soul that you were going to pick parents that were going to give you up for adoption, or were going to abandon you, or you're going to be raised by your grandparents, or whatever. There's no victims. You're not the victim of life. As a soul, you have created, allowed, promoted, and perpetrated, and manifested the exact life of your choice, always. May not be to your liking, but it's always to your highest advancement and highest good. And it would benefit you to recognize that and quit making yourself a victim or other people as victimizers. That's just simply not the case. So this is where you need to trust the discerning, refined heart, not the ego's emotional version. So guilt is never a good reason to try to create or sustain any relationship. You know, you don't have to stay married until the kids grow up. Children are better off living with one parent in harmony than two parents that are at each other's throats all the time, who can grow up, in any degree of loving security when there's a battlefield in one's own house. So spiritually, all life is interrelated, and it's one. And it's ever connected within the heart. It's only at the level of the ego mind that separation and differentiation and judging and the projections occur. That's the only place those show up. The ego-driven personal self has no true relationship with anyone. It can't have one because relationship is born of heart connection. So the ego only sees relationships as a means to get something that it feels it lacks. And it lacks everything. because it lacks love. And when you lack love, you don't have anything. So at best, the ego is like a barter system, the ego's idea of a relationship. You do this for me, and I'll do that for you. But then when you stop doing that thing that I expect you to do the way I expect you to do it, you're out of here. You're history. Next. And that's their idea of relationship. So realize that the ego is incapable of love and only knows attachment, manipulation, control, posturing, pretense, play acting, you know, all of that. I think we're all very familiar with that, up close and personal, and also within our relationships. So cultivating and refining the spiritual discerning heart is putting your divine self first, not your personal habit patterns. Your divine self dwells in the secret place of the Most High. It is that place of inner serenity and centered composure in the center of your heart. That place is ever full, ever fulfilled, ever content, and always free. That's where you have freedom of soul, not in the outer world. We all have to work for a living. We all have to pay rent or mortgage. We all have to put gas in our vehicles. You know, who can be free in that kind of a system? But inside your heart and mind, you can be free. And you can be free toward the things that are part of the dimension that you're committed to living in right now, which would be where we are on planet Earth. So your true self has no emptiness, no desire that it cannot fulfill within its own sense of inner beingness. And it's a place that calls you apart. It calls you apart from the social throngs, the chat rooms, the cocktail lounges, the obsessive text messaging, all of that stuff. It calls you to go apart and to live in your own inner paradise, so that even if you're in a crowd, you are in your inner paradise. You take it with you. It's a state of consciousness. It's an aura of peace that you bring wherever you go. And you enjoy the moment in peace. I've practiced that for so many years that it's now my consistent state. And it's wonderful. And I learned how to do that by living in hellacious relationship situations where there was no peace and I had to go within myself to survive. So if your current life is like that, it's to bring you into that inner paradise. So you will discern those people and things that clutter your energy field with psychic debris, the dust of coarseness and triviality. And you'll recognize when people come only to dump their barrel of discontent upon you. And you'll discern when and where you can be of real service to that person and when it's simply a waste of your precious energy. Got to guard that energy. It's for the use of God, not the abuse of people's egos and addictive demands. Very few people approach a light worker, a true light worker, light bearer, a true teacher of light. Very few people know how to approach someone like that appropriately in the protocol of spirit. And it's something that we all who are in that position need to learn to discern when you can truly increase the well-being, spiritually speaking, of another person, and when, somebody put it, they're best left to God. You put them in the light and you trust that God knows what they need and will see that they get it. So discernment, discernment, discernment. You will learn how to increase and sustain a highly refined level of spiritual energy and to exercise discernment in the divinely appointed and anointed areas in which you are to minister. And again, your heart lets you know because it gets behind your action with enthusiasm and the ability to extend whatever is needed at that moment. But the moment you feel that energy back off and it goes flat, you had best disconnect, disengage, and go do something else, because you don't have the backing of spirit at that moment. We're not here to enable the negative ego patterns of others or to allow them to inflict their consciousness on us, to invade our sacred space, or to abuse that sacred energy. And many of you have been building up this sacred repository of Baraka for many lifetimes, and now you are like a treasure chest of jewels. Only your higher self or the master upon the inner planes that truly knows you and has taken responsibility for guiding you, only they know where and how to direct your life so that you fulfill your highest divine potential. That's why you need to cultivate and refine your spiritual discernment so that you can have some quiet space within yourself to hear your heart's whispered guidance. That guidance of the heart is so soft and subtle. That's why it's called the voice of the silence. The voice of the heart is the wordless word. It's the soundless sound. And it's found in that sacred place within your heart. For only the silence of your quiet mind, in that space of silence, can the divine voice be heard. So learn to be still. Spend time in nature. Be alone. Listen and feel and know that you are divine, that you are one with God. You know, it says in the Bible, be still and know that I am God. And that awareness comes so naturally when you have removed the blockage of your issues and your judgments and your negativity, and the things that you have placed against your loving, the things that you have hid behind so that you couldn't present an openness. Be open, be true to your heart, be sincere. You don't have to give an answer to everything, nor do you have to accommodate everything. But you can always be accommodating, gracious, and kind. And you'll see that exemplified by all of the great masters and saints. Some of them are very silent. When people ask them questions, they don't respond at all. There's a reason. Sai Baba would absolutely ignore any one of us if we were in that gimme, 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 swami, 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 ego state. So it's a beautiful path, and it's a path that leads to greater and greater joy, fulfillment, and happiness. But the price is to give up your issues and to be the love that's a safe space for all life. Come and be with you. So let's take a deep breath, and we'll go out chanting on I Hear, which is a chant of divine oneness, harmony, and empathy. Deep breath. I know you. And singing and chanting the name of God is one of the best ways to keep your heart open and clear, particularly sacred chants, bhajans, Gregorian chants, choral singing, hymns, praise and worship. You know, the sound when you're giving utterance to divine sentiments and words, names and thoughts or mantras is itself the greatest way to purify your mind and your heart. So God bless you, and God willing, I will be with you this time next week. You've been listening to Commander Lady Athena of the Ashtar Galactic Command. Adonai.